Oh, the link. Let me forward Jason the link.
Hey, my love, this is your girl, Corey Love, back with another Carefree Cinema Conversation. I know it has been a while, but we're going to do it tonight. We're going to make it happen. If this is your first time, thanks for joining. If you're a returning guest, you know I'm always so grateful that you continue to rock with me. So you already know my platform is a positive space for all things Black independent film. Tonight, we're going to be speaking with three amazing individuals out of South Carolina and Atlanta, and we're going to be talking about the recent film Complicated Atlanta and not so recent one Complicated, but hopefully we find out when the other part will come back. So stay tuned again. Thanks for always tuning in with your girl. It's your girl, Corey Love. All right, so the commercial doesn't want to the intro doesn't want to work, so we're going to just go right on in and bring in Whitney Morrow, also known as I Am Pen. Hi!
Hi!
And thanks for joining, and go ahead and tell the people who you are.
My name is Whitney Morrow. I'm so glad to be here. I am a writer on Complicated series and Complicated Atlanta, and I also play the role of Devin Monroe on Complicated the series.
So you say Complicated the series. So listen, while we on that,
I knew you were going
to ask me. You already know, because the first one was so good, and I'm like yearning for more. I don't watch it over like three times, so I'm like thinking, when Complicated Atlanta came out, I was like, okay, so maybe, you know, Complicated come right after that. That didn't work. So what's going on with that? Let's find out.
Okay. It's coming. And when I say it is worth the wait, okay. I got a little sneak peek about just a little bit, because one thing I love about working with the creators of the show and the series, mm-hmm, is they allow me to be in both worlds, but they still save some for me as an actor. And I love that. Okay. Like, they won't show, like, I can't watch the episodes. I'm not allowed. Like, I watch it with my castmates, and I love that. Okay. It's a bit like, sometimes, because I really want to see it. They let me watch a little bit of it, and I'm just like, where's the rest?
But yeah.
And I will say the episodes are longer. You're getting about 40 minutes here. So
okay, good.
And good, we have a lengthy season. Last time it was 6. We're looking to do anywhere from 9 to 10 episodes.
Oh yes, that's what I'm talking about. Okay,
And they're long. All of them are long. So long. Like, you're getting, it's when I say it's worth the wait, from the quality, okay, from the storyline, from the twists, the turns. It's just whatever. Complicated was incredible.
But it was.
Season 2 is just, it is up. It's so up so many more notches. I cannot wait for y'all to like see it.
I can't wait either.
So good. Like, and where you think it's gonna go, you know, it's complicated.
For real? Okay, now I'm really excited. Oh yeah. Man.
Lots of
all right. And we're gonna bring Jason J Battle on. Hey Jason.
Hey, what's up? Can you guys hear me? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool, cool.
Yes, thank you so much for joining on, and go ahead and let the people know who you are as well.
My name is Jason Battle. I play Quintrell on Complicated Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm an actor, obviously, singer, songwriter, mm-hmm, do a little bit of everything.
Okay, a jack of all trades. Okay, all right. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we may not have Curtis on, but, you know, we're sending lots and lots of love out to him and his family. So you said that, Whitney, you said that sometimes that you have the best of both worlds. You're able to be on both sides. Tell us about what that means with you as far as Showtime Productions.
I get to work as a writer and a producer for the other shows that Showtime Productions does, which I'm incredibly grateful for. So I get to do the acting thing, and I also get to do the writing thing, because I actually was a writer first before I became an actor. And every time I tell my story about how I got this role, people trip out about it, because it wasn't a thing I auditioned for. Everybody auditioned for it. I was a stand-in as a friend reading on just a table read, because they just needed a voice to read.
Oh, and then you just got it.
And then I get an email like 2-3 months later, and Johnny says nothing. He's just like, oh, here's the script. Here's your role. And I'm like,
what does that mean?
When did I audition, Johnny?
Right.
He was like, oh, well, we looked, we tried, but we just liked you, and we want you to come do this if you'll do this. And I was just like,
oh, wow. Okay. And here you are today. How many shows after?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's a cool experience.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't let her go to read for anyone else, you know, Jay.
Right. She might take that little role. That's where it started. So it's a really nice area, because I get to create in both worlds, and I absolutely love it. And I love that I get the opportunity to do that and to write for incredible actors such as Jason and Curtis and everybody else. Like, they are such a talented crew, so it's easy. It's so easy. So I feel like we don't have to limit ourselves when we're creating for these people to in these characters, and that's the really exciting part of it.
And that, and with that being said, I'm glad that you said that, because Complicated was hot. I'm not gonna lie, we all know that, but Complicated Atlanta was hot.
Yes.
Now, what I really loved about it is it touched on a lot of conversations that, like, not openly talked about or shunned and certain things like that. So tell us what inspired you to co-write this film, Complicated Atlanta.
Well, it was supposed to be so many different other things before it landed on Complicated Atlanta. It was completely titled something completely different that Carrick had already written. It was called Side Effects. It was casted, we were going to go to film, and it just fell through. So we went back to the drawing board, got a new cast, new name, did that, fell through. So third time's the charm here, but it's a story that is needing to be told, because everybody deserves representation, especially in the people of color world. We don't get to see very many of our stories of us just being people and living our lives, because we as Black people are so multifaceted. Like, we do so many different things, and we so have much. So many layers to us, and everybody deserves that representation. So this show is a really, really beautiful outlet for that, where these characters get to be themselves, but at the same time, we get to watch that struggle in real life. So
That is absolutely true. I love that. I love that you said that, because even like with Jason's role as Quintrell, there was one part where he was playing the keyboard, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I wonder if he really is he really playing it? And then you just say you're a singer songwriter, and so a lot of people may or may not know that. So tell us a little bit about your background with writing songs and playing instruments, because typically if you play one, you can play more than one.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the church, and that's where everybody kind of develops their music, whether they are in the R&B world or the country world. I feel like everybody gets, especially in the Black community, gets the foundation of their musical talents from church.
Yeah.
So I grew up in church playing the drums, but being around choirs and stuff like that, I was just kind of able to pick up on, kind of play the keyboard. I didn't play the keyboard a lot, but I play a little bit. My focus was more the drums, and I wanted to sing and stuff like that. So that's where I got my musical background from.
Okay, okay. And then I know that you got your start in Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eyes. You were you played I think it's Charlie. I don't know
how. Yeah, Charlie Breedlove. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. How do you feel you've grown from then to now?
God, well, that was a long time ago. Wow. So that's a crazy story. That was my first audition ever. So I was in my junior year, I think, of college, and I was like, my major at the time was econ and finance, and I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be behind a cubicle. I don't want to, you know, have my life be felt like to me monotonous. Mm-hmm. I was like, that doesn't seem like something I want to aspire towards. So I was looking around. And I was like, I could do the talents that I already have, like music and acting and performing and performances. Mm-hmm. So I emailed all the professors in my school and I was like, hey, I'm in my junior year of college. And I don't really want to switch majors again because I want to be done with college, but I do want to learn about acting and performing. Mm-hmm. And I want to use the talents that I naturally have and the mm-hmm. gifts that I want, that I enjoy using. So I emailed them, only one of them responded, and they was like, come, we'll do like some one-on-one lessons on the side. Taught me a monologue, and that monologue I performed for my audition as Tali Brila. And that's how I got my first role, and it's been kind of like building on that ever since. Yeah. So how I've grown, I mean, I've learned so much about acting. At the time, I thought acting was being somebody else. I was going through a lot of stuff at the time. I was going through like my own personal things. I was like, I don't really want to be me. So let me be someone else. And then when I got to training for acting, I realized that acting is really knowing yourself well enough to bring the most authentic version of yourself to a character. So
I like that.
Spiraled into therapy for me. And it was like, oh, I really have to grow up and become self-aware to do this. And yeah, so I've grown as a person. I've grown as a man. I've grown as like just knowing myself. And I've grown as an artist because of that.
So, wow. You just said a mouthful. That was me.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
He's looking like
acting. I tell people all the time, acting kind of saved my life because I wasn't happy with myself at the time. Yeah. And I was like, if I want to do this, I have to appreciate things about me that I don't like, and I have to expand on the things that I do like about myself and bring them to a character, because we all get the same size, we all get the same lines, but the only thing that's going to set you apart in audition process is being you, like, authentically. So I had to just learn how to love me, the good and the bad parts. And
That's a lot. I love that. And that's definitely something that y'all did in Complicated Atlanta. Like, I just saw the how would I say it? Y'all just immersed into that character. I saw the emotions. I understand. Like, I felt like y'all know some of the experiences. It's like, whoa. I mean, it's not a show you just watch and be like, oh, okay. You'd be like, it was one part. I think you cried. You were leaving the apartment. You were mad. You came in. I think Jason. Curtis was supposed to, Sanchez in the show, of course, was supposed to meet you to do a reading or something like that. Yeah. And you came in and he was with the guy and you were like, oh, wow. And then you walked out. I was like, oh, man. I felt it. I felt it. So I know, like, y'all really, what you're saying, you really do. You know what I mean? You're not just saying it. If you're tuning in, thank you so much. I am speaking with Jason J. Battle and Whitney Morrow. They are also a part of the cast of Complicated Atlanta and Complicated. And if you're not already following, make sure you follow them on Instagram. Follow Whitney at I Am Penna, right? And yes. Jason Battle as his name on Instagram. All right. So just about to say, Jason. And Jason Battle. Now there's one. Now you, I see that, which is good. Now, Whitney, you're a writer and you're also an actress. There's one particular scene that really stood out. Of course, Complicated Atlanta stands out. I mean, Complicated stands out as well, but I want to share this scene real quick. if my computer acts right. Sometime today.
Oh.
Oh.
God. Let's see if it plays. Oh, my God.
No, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. Stop.
And I'm coming for everything you have.
Come back inside so we can bitch. Calvin, come back inside. What are you doing?
Move.
What are you doing?
Fuck away from
no.
my car.
No, Calvin.
Woman, move.
No. Why are you running away? You can't face me like a man, huh?
You a little bitch. I'll be a bitch if I was to lay your ass out in this motherfucking driveway. Now move. Get the fuck out the way.
Now it's one question. Well, two. I want to ask: was he supposed to push you that hard? Oh my God!
I remember that day. So it first of all, I think it was one of the first scenes that we shot when we was redoing the series because we had to reshoot mm-hmm. Complicated the series too. That was second time was the charm with that.
Oh, and
we
wow.
did that second time. That was one of the first scenes we shot. And I remember being cold. And I remember getting thrown so many times that day that I had bruises right here from when he was grabbing me and throwing me. And the thing about it is, he is the sweetest man on this planet. Mm-hmm. Like, who he plays is not who he is. He is an incredible mm-hmm. actor, and I love to work with him. The sweetest man. It was rough that day, though. I did not like him.
He definitely played his role.
He tried to delicately throw me, but it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So I was just throw me. We're actors. We do this. Let's
right.
make
it yeah.
throw me.
I was like, nah. Wow. It looked like he really like no. He. I was. I just. I, every time I watch it, I'm like, he pushed up for real. That
he
ain't.
Did, and he lifted me up rough off my feet and just. Toss.
Now, I wanted to really focus on that scene, not only because the acting was so real, like just definitely believable. And that's one thing I love about the series in both in Atlanta and in the series, because it's not acting. It seems like it's just real life. You know what I mean? So kudos to you guys for being so amazing in what you do. Now, you know, we always have like DV and it's mostly about women being abused. But in this case, you abuse him. Right. And you calling him all type of names and stuff like that. I don't know if you had anything to do with that writing. what do you feel about it? What do you think, Jason? Because, you know, they don't talk about when the men get abused, too.
Right. That's funny. I would be surprised. Whitney. She wants the real out of it. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, we just want to tell the truth. So if she did write it, it wouldn't surprise.
I didn't, though. Carrot wrote the whole first season solo dolo, and he did the damn thing. That was
he did a great job.
Now,
oh, wow.
He embellished some things and kind of make it nastier than what it was on paper. Absolutely. But I will say this. He didn't expect for me to slap him when I did slap him when I showed up to that campaign scene. I do remember doing that. And you never do that as an actor. You're always supposed to talk that over with your oh, and then use the real film. And I just slapped the fire to Brand. And I remember that he was the way he looked. It was so authentic, though. Like, and that was the take I think they used is when I slapped him.
He yeah. got
I did not know.
And then he was like, stop being a bitch. Yeah. I was like, oh, I felt that in my soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
was hating it. Oh, man. That was good.
Got the work out of it. But I would never at the end of the day. I was fresh. I didn't know what I was doing. Because after that, you got to tell me you're going to do that.
Right. And those of you that are tuning in, if you have any questions, please drop your questions in the comment section. Don't hesitate. If you've seen them, you know them. If you don't know them, make sure you follow them, but drop your questions in the question box so they can hear from you as well in the audience. Now, we talked about you playing the keyboard, and there's also a particular role or scene actually that you did, but we're going to come back to that because that one is really, really deep. So let's come back to that.
Okay.
Now, it's clear that I feel like you might know it. Now, it's clear that you are supporters of the LGBTQ community. How has your support influenced your work in the industry, and how has it challenged you guys or been a challenge?
Huh. You want to go first or you want me to go?
However have you. It doesn't matter.
However have you.
How has it been a positive challenge. Thing and a challenge and a and a okay. A challenge, I don't think it's really not for me, it really hasn't been a challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't really a challenge on a personal level, it was, but it was more like family didn't want to come see the show because of the support and the allyship of the LGBTQ community, which is why it's necessary for us to do the show, because we can't even have conversations about it.
Yeah.
And in a fictional world, much less real life. So it's just like, so that's been, which that wasn't a challenge. It was eye opening, but it wasn't surprising. So, yeah, I think that's the only thing for me.
How do you feel like you overcame it?
Just by doing it. Because I knew how it was going to be. I knew that. And that's why I did it. It's because of, like, these conversations need to be had. We need to stop pretending like this isn't it. This doesn't exist. And, that's for me, that's why I was like, this is necessary. These stories need to be told. These voices need to be heard. There's millions and millions of Quintrails over the world who don't make it, who sometimes resort to suicide or staying in the closet. So, or marrying a woman, or marrying somebody they don't want to be with, and just living a life they don't want to live. And that's why I felt like it's necessary to tell stories like this, because it's really sad.
It is.
Yeah, it's just really sad.
Yes, indeed. And that's why I like that the church part was in there as well, too, because that's really serious. But I let Whitney answer her feelings about how it's influenced her or challenged.
I don't think it was a challenge at all. I think if we're talking about in terms of backlash, potentially, sure, you're gonna get that. People ain't never happy, regardless. So, you know, if we hold on
never happy
like that, we can't. That's just not true to life for us. So I think we saw those challenges, and I think knowing that, but still knowing that the truth still has to be told. Like, you feel a responsibility as a creator to tell these stories. Because they're real life. They're our stories as a people. Like I was saying earlier, we're multifaceted. Like, it's important for everybody to have that representation. And the world does not look one way. We're not monolithic as people. It's nothing is monotone about the world.
Not at all.
So it's needed, and it's so important. And regardless if it is challenges that come with it, you know, no risk, no reward, you know? Yeah. So it's about giving people a voice and letting them know you're not alone, because a lot of these people feel alone, and you don't have to, you don't have to be. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with who people choose to love. I personally don't think it's nobody's business. That doesn't change one way or another. You know, they don't end world hunger who you lay down with. So
exactly. It ain't me. It ain't you.
You know, so I mean, it doesn't change cancer who you lay down with. So like, let's focus on what matters, guys.
Right. Exactly. And does that, with that being said, there's anything like with getting the film out to distribution company, was that any issue with them or whoever you guys chose to distribute it to?
I don't believe so. I think the, and that's the thing about Hollywood that I think people are also trying to rebel against, is Hollywood is needing more of these stories. They are recognizing the need to tell these stories. So they're wanting this content. So there is a need for these stories to be told because the world looks different today than it did 10, 15 years ago. You know, there's so much more freedoms to be able to be who you are, and more content like that is being craved. So that's what they're wanting.
That should be shared.
Right.
I'ma share this. See if it works. I don't know what's wrong with my internet. It's very moody. And always at the wrong time. I should have the Jeopardy sound playing now while we wait.
Oh, my scene. Yeah. I love watching you work in this scene. I love that. Oh,
thank you.
No faggot will serve in my.
Oh, my God. I hate my internet so bad.
No faggot will serve in my ministry and live in my house. So you got one or two choices. Choice one, you take that beautiful Nubian queen out for a night she'll never forget. Or choice two, you packing your shit and getting the hell out of my house. The choice is yours, nigga.
It was a nigga at the end for me, Pastor.
And to get your shit part in the church.
Yeah, right. I literally sat there. I was like, nigga? Like, oh my God. And I have not heard the word faggot in years. I'm like, who the hell wrote this? Like, that's... You can't say that like that. You can't. I remember growing up and people would say that, and those were like fighting terms, like, you know what I mean? So when I saw that scene, I was like, I know that hit home for a lot of people,
right?
Because I know, you know, people that I was like, wait, this is so real. How did that, doing that scene, like, what? How, like, it just, it's tough.
Yeah.
That and was, you say you grew up in a church, so tell us.
Yeah, that's a tough scene. Yeah, and that's a very, yeah, exactly. It's close to home. I mean, it's just real. And he grew up in that time period where, like, the character in the show that plays my dad grew up in the time period where the F word is, like, that's intentional. Like, I'm trying to dehumanize you. So it was just, it was... It hit home. I was like, and I don't need. I didn't really need a lot of prep work because it's all in the words that he's saying. So it's like I don't have to go prepare. Yeah, it was just it was a tough scene. Tough scene to do. We actually had to reshoot that scene, and it was tough for the second time because Whitney.
It's always you, Whitney. What's going on? It's always you.
I just want the best out of people. And I'm like, it's in there. Come here. It's in there.
Yep. Right before we got ready to shoot the scene, she pulled me to the side. She's like, I want you to pull from this. And she said something specific.
And I was like, oh, I was about to lose it before the scene even started. I was like, I gotta save the tears before until we get into the scene. But it helped though, because I feel like it came from a real place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a tough scene, but it's a real story, and it's, I wanted to get the real emotion. Like I said earlier, like I had to come to terms with myself. And be self-aware so I can pull at these real things. Because a lot of us, I feel like, especially in our community, we suppress everything. Don't talk about it. Yeah. Just don't address it. You be a man, be tough. So
Don't cry.
So I had to do a lot of self-work in order to even tap into these emotions because I had them buried for so long. Mm. And to undo almost 30 years of suppressing your emotions, it takes a lot of work, and I got to a point where I can tap into it to show how this really makes people, like, this really hurts. And I feel like people don't know it hurts, but it hurts people.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show that. I wanted to have that on display. Like, this is what you are destroying people by your religious homophobia and these toxic masculine things. Like, you are killing people.
Yeah. And that's always been my thing. Like, you're a pastor. You're supposed to bring people to the church. And mind you, while he was shitting, he worried about you. You know what I mean? Like, and typically that's it happens.
Because nobody cares about that part. Like, for whatever reason, homosexuality is the worst thing
that you could ever be.
That you can ever be. While you cheat on your wife.
Not adultery.
Either. Like, none of that matters. As long as you're not gay, you can do pretty much and that's cultural. That's worldwide. Like, everybody treats it like
every
that.
Culture. That's crazy.
Yeah, amongst every culture. It's like all these other sins we don't really care that much about. But being gay, you can't do that.
Yeah. Drinking. I mean, I know better than drinking stuff, but like, don't get drunk. But yeah, so, but was that one of your lines you wrote, Whitney?
It was not. Again, this was all the beautiful, brilliant mind of Carrick Montoya. The way he taps into these things and the way he just displays it, especially with the story Complicated Atlanta, is just incredible. And I commend him for the bravery that it took. And also you, Jason, because Corey, I know you saw the first, like that first run of Complicated Atlanta, but baby, when I tell you, it's this time that is coming. Yes. And that particular scene that Jason's talking about on that day, the bravery and the courage that it took to go in there after I said that fuck shit to you. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. But after I said I said that crazy stuff to you, like, for you to just, and you wore it. His whole demeanor changed
immediately. As soon as he said, I was like,
his whole body tense.
Right into character.
Stay with me.
Yeah,
like, we're here. But the courage that it took for you to go in that room and do that after that, with what I said to you being so fresh, it was so good, Corey. Like, you are in for a treat, Mama.
I cannot wait. Oh my God.
It felt much better the second time around.
It was beautiful.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's very easy to, like, I already know these lines. I already lived in this world. It's easy to, like, kind of coast through it. Mm-hmm. But to get something pulled out of you right before you have to shoot it again and, like, really be living the world again is very... Mm-hmm. It was very necessary. I was very appreciative of that. It was tough, but I was like, I needed that because it's very easy to just suppress those emotions again.
Right.
So, yeah.
I just love how it's written and for you guys to bring it out to life because it was so real. Like, everything was so, so real. You know what I mean? And why the wife always got to pass away, though? It's always the wife. I'm looking at it and I'm like, why did she die?
Because women live shorter lives when they get married. It's a statistic.
Hey, I'm gonna get a divorce. I gotta get a divorce. No, you know I'm gonna look that up. She's talking about looking up. I'm gonna go research that. Okay. Now, we gotta talk about this one now. So I can't do Curtis's own because he's not here, but Curtis is a whole entire mood. And I feel like for some reason in my spirit, that's him for real, for real.
That's so funny.
That's him.
It's not. It's not.
It's not.
No.
No way.
It's really for real?
Oh wow. He can act his butt up.
Yeah. It took a lot out of him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he changed everything. Like his mannerisms, like he does not have a sense for real.
God. For real, I'm like, oh, he lit, like he be live for real, cause he did a hell of a job. Yeah. If that's not his, wow, y'all got a good cast, that's badass cast, that's good. Now,
he I said he's the sweetest, shyest person ever.
I would have never thought.
Yeah,
never. So I would have been meeting him in real life being all wild and loud and stuff. And he'd be like. Now, the wardrobe in both series, like, who's the wardrobe stylist, baby? Because the outfits was given every single thing.
So that is Devin Scott, who also wrote the theme songs for both shows. Because him and Lisa are the wardrobe stylists for that, the key wardrobe stylists, and Crystal.
Okay.
They really tackled both shows and gave completely different looks each time they had done this, which it just got better each time because
it did.
Again, you think this was given for what you've seen. You have not seen nothing yet.
Like, I can't wait.
I'm trying to tell you, better and better. I'm trying to tell you, but they did the thing. Yeah, but they're incredible.
So I can't even ask what y'all are excited about because I know now already it's both of them.
Yeah.
Definitely both, man. Because I mean, I was looking at the outfits and it's like, it's suit, whatever each person was wearing, it suit their character. You know what I mean? So. Awesome. Shout out to them. They're amazing. Amazing job. Now, what advice would you give any emerging filmmakers that are part of the community that's looking to make their mark?
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's nothing to wait on. If you wait for things to be perfect, you'll be waiting for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect is an illusion.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Do it broke, do it scared,
yeah.
Do it tired, do it when you don't feel like it, do it plenty of times to watch the sun come up
at all, just do it.
Yeah. Oh man, I appreciate this advice. I'm so glad we got to do this. It was, you know, the last time it didn't work out and this time it worked out. Although it was a little bit slow, but it's here, it's happening, we're gonna keep it going. Yeah. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with? I know y'all know I always play a game at the end of the show. So before we do that, what would you like to let the audience know?
To go stream Complicated, the series, and Complicated on Tubi. Complicated Atlanta is on Amazon Prime. We are coming back with the second season and second part of Complicated, the series season 2, this fall. Yep. It's looking a little November, December-ish for that. Okay. But I can't confirm they're shot.
They're in the they're on the editing room floor right now. I have seen a little bit of it. It is incredible. Okay. They do have episodes, so we're not just talking. for both shows. So we are coming back this fall to give you guys, you know, what you're missing. In the meantime, between time, follow us on Instagram, Complicated Series, Complicated Atlanta. That's across all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and it's Showtime Productions GDL on YouTube. That is where we are. Complicated, the series is has redropped on YouTube and is doing very well. So thank you guys for getting all of that support. So we're coming.
Yes. Anything, Jason?
We covered it all. We're coming.
She said it all, dude. She
coming. See you wrapped up in the bow.
And don't forget to make sure to follow them both at Jason Battle on Instagram and Whitney Morrow as I Am Henna on Instagram. So let's get ready for this. And I'm, you know, send all my love to Curtis and we'll keep him in the prayer. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's game time. And it's going slow, so I'm not even gonna fight with it. Trying to come on. I have my little theme song, like Jeopardy. It doesn't wanna work. Oh my God. There you go. All right. All right. So, would you rather? That's what we're gonna be doing. Now I wanna keep playing.
Oh man. Okay.
Okay. Y'all ready? So you guys can both answer. This thing is tripping. Look at this. Now it's coming again. Stop. So you guys can both answer when I ask, okay?
Okay.
All right. Would you rather rap with Queen Latifah or dance with Jennifer Lopez?
Rap
Definitely Queen Latifah. Yeah, definitely Queen Latifah.
Right. Would you rather have the ability to be invisible or to read people's mind?
Oh God! I want to be invisible. I don't want to know some of the things that people be thinking about because they tell me on the internet every day, and I'm so disappointed. And I just I want to still live in humanity, so I'm cool.
What about you?
I was like, people's mind. I feel like that would stress me out though, and then I was like,
right.
Can I start reading people out whenever I want to? So no, I just do invisible.
Right. Would you rather have an hour conversation with Angela Bassett or a supporting role with Viola Davis?
I'm gonna take the role. Yeah. I can talk to her later when she'd actually know who I am.
When she sees me.
Yes. Yes.
We're gonna be at award shows and stuff.
Okay.
What? I like that. Would you rather be a teenager in a film or a stripper?
A scruple.
Scruple?
Yeah.
You too? I like y'all. Yeah. Would you rather have a 1-minute conversation with your 13-year-old self? Or your 18-year-old self?
I'm like 18.
Same.
I think 18. Because 13, I feel like 13-year-old me won't take the conversation seriously.
Mom won't listen.
And he also won't retain it. Mm-mm. But 18-year-old me would be like, help.
Yeah.
What do I do? What am I doing?
All right. Okay.
Same.
Don't do this.
Don't go do this.
Right. Save money. Okay. You don't make the right
choice. Yes.
Invest in Google, Twitter, Tesla. Right. Tesla.
Would you rather live in single or a different world?
Oh.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna go different world. Yeah, different world.
Oh, that's so hard.
That's so tough. I think a different world, though.
God.
Because if I think about it too long, I won't give you an answer.
Okay, living single
I've been living single just for some variety because I love Maxine Shaw. Like that character, I love that woman. Yep. Her and
everything. No nonsense.
I love her.
I liked her too. Would you rather visit New Orleans for Mardi Gras or Brazil for Carnaval?
Mardi Gras.
I'm going to go to Brazil, but that's because I can't.
You've been to Mardi Gras? Right
now. Oh, okay. Check out backstage.
All right. Would you rather seafood boil or lemon pepper wings?
Oh.
Right.
Because I like me a lemon pepper all flat.
No, we can share because I like drums, baby. Oh, no flat. I like seafood ball, but I'll do the wings.
Yeah, I know the seafood ball.
I know, but that's good too because I'm crab legs and you can.
The sauce and the corn.
I know, and you can sop it up on the bottom. Yeah.
Potatoes.
Well, I get we'll get that, and then we can just share. I give you some,
right?
You get the wings, you get the seafood boy. Yeah, share that. Good plan, good plan. Would you rather be on a dating show or a survival show?
A dating show or a survival show?
Mm-hmm.
Survival show.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I'm competitive. I like to compete.
Yeah, adventure. Okay.
I love you. I would support you from the comfort of my home, and I would send you baskets of food if when the number come up on the screen. But I'm not. I'm gonna go on this dating show and just
like
I'm like none of y'all for real, and be an actor and leave.
Right. Win the show and then
right.
Like, yeah, I'm leave.
Kidding. I don't like. You can't do that on the survival show. He really got to do that stuff.
You got to really do that. How I'm gonna do that? I wouldn't survive, Jason. I don't like.
I know I would.
In my house, okay.
I know I won't. That's it for me. Mm-hmm. The last and final. What'd you say?
I felt like the Hunger Games was a thing. Like I would survive because I was determined. I wasn't gonna let them kill me. That would be the only way I would survive.
That'd be the only way. Yeah.
If it was right. no stakes were there, and we just out here like Survivor, I'm going home. I don't know how. I call right. for everything. Okay.
I like you, Whitney. You're funny. And the last and final one: would you rather have a pause or a rewind button in your life?
Oh, great questions!
Right. A pause or a rewind button.
Got you stumped. I like that.
Because both are good. Like sometimes you need a pause. You need to think about
it. I feel like we can create that in some capacity. And I feel like we can step away from a situation. That's why I want to go rewind. Because how did I get here? If I have to pause, that means I can go back and make sure I don't end up in a situation where I needed to take a moment. So I think I want to go rewind.
I like how you thought, brought, you thought that through. I like that.
Right. I'm like,
Because I want to do the pause because I feel like me just knowing myself, I do this in real life anyway, but if I can do a real pause, like I'll pause a stop on absolutely everything because my pause is I'm still going up to the top floor in the elevator and I'm about to jump off, but I'm just not saying nothing to pause.
Yeah.
Nothing. So if I had a real pause where the elevator just don't go to the top floor and we just hear.
Right.
Because if I rewind some stuff and it's something that's done made me mad, I'm going to get mad about it all over again.
All over
and then I'm going to have, and another thing, and another thing.
Oh my God. I enjoyed y'all. Oh my God, Whitney. Y'all a whole vibe for real, for real. So So guys, again, if you're tuning in, thank you so much for rocking with me. Make sure you join again next week as I speak with Sean Van Productions, director, writer, producer, Erica Gomez. Tonight, we have the pleasure of being with Whitney and Jason Battle. Again, don't forget, go watch Complicated, the series. You can find it on a lot of platforms, like she said earlier, Amazon, YouTube, and on Tubi. You can also watch Complicated Atlanta. And I would say watch them both. There's not either one that you like. You're going to love both of them. And make sure you follow Showtime Production, GVL, because you'll see the updates. Oh, and don't forget that if you're in Spartanburg, South Carolina, there's going to be a stage play, Collateral Damage. So make sure you check that out. Go to Showtime Productions again and grab your tickets. It's going to be October 5th. Mm-hmm. I know that. Right? Yeah. Are you guys in it? Any of you guys?
We're not in it, but we are supporting.
Of course.
Right.
Always.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. All right. Thank you guys again for being a part of my show. It's a pleasure because without you guys, there will be no Corey Love Show. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, guys. Thank you. Good night. Guidance, blessings, and love.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. I'm trying to end it.